Okay, we're back. We're in the book Hosea. And let's see, where did we leave off? I forgot to leave my marker here. Well, I guess we left off in pretty much the first verse. I didn't get too far, did I? Okay, rejoice not, O Israel, for joy as other people, for thou hast gone a-whoring from thy God. Thou hast loved a reward upon every corn floor. Yes, that was when we left, I was talking about how people just, they follow after mammon in America. That's what it's all about, making the money and where it leads away from the Heavenly Father's will for his people. Used to attend a local corporation church here, and it's been quite a while since I walked away from that. And I was at a shop because one of the men at the church had an automobile shop, so I'd take my automobile to his shop for repairs. And his daughter was in there, and she was about the age where you finish high school. His daughter and his son, or both of them, were in there, and we struck up a conversation. And I asked them a question, because this is at the time the Heavenly Father had given me this message of repent, for the kingdom is hand. The kingdom is at hand, and cross the border into the kingdom of Yahuwah, our God, and live forever. So I asked him, I said, where is the kingdom of God? And they told me, they said, these young people said to me, well, that's where you go when you die. You know, you get to go to heaven when you die. Just honestly, very seriously, this is how they had been indoctrinated in evangelicalism, because they lead you up to the kingdom, but they don't suffer you to enter because they don't go in themselves. That's what the Messiah, he exactly proclaimed that in so many words. Of course, I'm sure that he said it in Hebrew, but I'm saying it in English for you as best as I can. And so these young people had a totally false idea. So I told them, I says, you know, that the kingdom of God is, and they're struggling with this heavy burden at the time too, because they're looking at the end of high school. Of course, they're going to public school system, and they're trying to balance this with their belief in God, because their father is a church-going man, you know, a man who's doing the best he can. Of course, the blind being led by the blind. And I was there with them at that time, so, because I knew all these people, and I was going to that church and getting all this revelation from doing the unthinkable, that is, reading the authorized King James Bible on my own and going, wow, this doesn't all add up, does it? How come they're preaching one message there and I'm reading something else here, you know? Is this the book, the foundation, or they got something else going on? But anyway, they asked me, kind of asked me for some advice, and my advice to them, I said, you know, I'm sure that God wants you young people to find a mate and settle down and raise a family and raise up godly children to him, because they're struggling with this heavy burden. What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? Wherewithal will I be clothed? How am I going to buy gas? How am I going to buy a car? How am I going to make house payments? This heavy burden is laid on them, and they have to struggle with it. That's not the burden of our Heavenly Father. And I told him, I said, seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all of these things will be added to you. So you don't have to worry about the things. If you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, then he's going to take care of you. If you seek the things, you may get them, and you may not get them. Most people get what they need. Not all people, but they get what they need. What most people want and what they need are two different things. But he says, seek first the kingdom. You don't have to carry. That's another reason why he said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And yes, it's easy, because all you have to do is follow the path of righteousness, the path of his law. It's easy. And I talked about it the other day. It's in the book. I can hold it in my hand. I can know it all. Or you can be turned over to the laws of men and the heavy burden of trying to provide for yourself. Yes, and it doesn't mean you can be lazy and not work, because that's part of his righteousness, part of obedience to him, is to work when he gives you work to do. And there's always work to be done, isn't there? And when you're in his kingdom, I'm going to tell you, you're going to be busier than ever. But the working for him and doing the work that he's given us is a great joy. You know, I still don't like doing dishes, but I do. I don't know why I thought about doing dishes, because doesn't seem like, I guess I could have joy in something that I don't even enjoy, because I can be thankful that I have dishes to wash and plenty of food to put in them. So he does provide everything that we need. So we don't need that heavy burden of seeking mammon. But that is what the nations seek after. And we're here in Egypt, Babylon, Sodom. And he said, you know, don't be like the nations which say, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? They're always seeking after mammon. But he said, seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. And that's what I see here. Thou hast loved a reward upon every corn floor. Basically saying that you just love the reward of mammon. And that's what you seek after. The things that you need for this life and even beyond. What you need, the things you lust after. The floor and the wine press shall not feed them. It's never enough. And the new wine shall fail in her. They shall not dwell in Yahuwah's land, but Ephraim shall return to Egypt. And they shall eat unclean things in Assyria. Huh, isn't that what's going on out there? Yeah, well, they're free from the law. They can eat unclean things. I say, let them have in it. As for me and my house, yes, we will serve Yahuwah. And that means that we delight in his law. And we believe that he gave us the law, even the dietary law, for our own good. Because he loves us. And because we love him, well, we're going to reverence his word and his law. And do those things which please him. And we can find them in his word. It says, so they shall eat unclean things in Assyria. They shall not offer wine offerings to Yahuwah, neither shall they be pleasing unto him. Their sacrifice shall be unto them as the bread of mourners. All that eat thereof shall be polluted, for their bread, for their soul, shall not come into the house of Yahuwah. What will you do in the solemn day? And in the day of the feasts of Yahuwah, for lo, they are gone because of destruction. Egypt shall gather them up. Memphis shall bury them. The pleasant places for their silver, nettles shall possess them. Thorns shall be in their tabernacles. The days of visitation are come. The days of recompense are come. Israel shall know it. The prophet is a fool, the spiritual man is mad, for the multitude of thine iniquity and great hatred. And yes, I'm going to tell you what, those prophets, you know what a prophet is? A prophet is a man who supposedly speaks the word of God. And we have prophets in crystal cathedrals today, don't we? We have prophets on the programming device called a television, don't we? They're fools. Every last one of them are fools, just like they were in Israel. It says, the prophet is a fool, and the spiritual man is mad. These men they call spiritual today, they're madmen, following yogis and talking about Zen and all that spiritual garbage. And then you have the Blavatskyites and the Jordan Maxwells and all of these idiots and fools, so-called spiritual men. I can be spiritual. I'm a spiritual man. Yes, I am. You're a fool for believing in the Bible. That's what they tell me. But they think they're spiritual. But they're mad. For the multitude of thine iniquity and the great hatred. The watchman of Ephraim was with my God, but the prophet is a snare of a fowler in all his ways, and hatred in the house of his God. You hear a lot about hatred today and hate crimes. And, well, it's getting to the point where just being a real, true Bible believer exposes you to being a hate criminal. They have deeply corrupted themselves, as in the days of Gibeah. Therefore he will remember their iniquity, he will visit their sins. I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first ripe in the fig tree at her first time, but they went to Baal Peor and separated themselves unto that shame, and their abominations were courting as they loved. Ephraim, their glory shall fly away like a bird from the birth, and from the womb, and from the conception. Though they bring up their children, yet will I bereave them, that there shall not be a man left. Yea, woe also to them when I depart from them. Ephraim, as I saw Tyrus, is planted in a pleasant place, but Ephraim shall bring forth his children to the murderer. Give them, O Yahuwah, what wilt thou give? Give them a miscarrying womb and dry breasts. And see, that's a curse. Not having children is a curse. If you love God, if you love His law, if you love His commandments, then remember the very first commandment that He gave mankind, to be fruitful and multiply. The very first positive commandment He gave them was to be fruitful and multiply. The very first negative commandment is, thou shalt not eat of the fruit of that tree. You know, they should have been about the Father's business that He gave them. They should have been about being multiplying and being fruitful instead of focusing on that negative commandment. And I said, well, the Heavenly Father wasn't surprised, was He? It's just something to think about. You can't think, you know, you can speculate what might have been or what would have happened if they had obeyed Him rather than disobey Him, because one was do this and don't do that, and they chose to do what He told them not to do. Huh. Why didn't they choose to do? If they had conceived before they had sinned, then they would have had, well, their seed probably would have sinned too, but there would have been a different seed line in the earth. But once seed enters in, and once sin enters in to whatever man, so it wouldn't have mattered. Every man would have sinned anyway, because that's just the way it is. So that's where my speculation as to what might have happened if it had been otherwise, if they had procreated before they sinned, well, that seed would have probably sinned. But up until that point, I mean, really, the only sin that they were that they knew of, because they really couldn't do anything else. They would never even think of murder, because Adam would only have murdered Eve, and he would never have thought of that. So you think about what the sin was that was available. But really, when you get right down to it, all sin is disobedient to the commandment of God. And so He only gave them one commandment, and that was to not eat of that tree. And also, disobedience to the commandment of God is ignoring the positive commands of what you're supposed to do. Think about that for a moment. So you can sin by omission as well as commission. So He says, so not having children is a curse. And you got people out there that think, well, I can practice birth control as a Christian and not be sinning. But you're sinning by omission. Come on. Let's be honest about it. And really, birth control, as I've proclaimed many times, is the genesis of abortion. Because basically, it's the same thing. It's just preemptive. You know, you're just doing what the heathen do, and even in the church now, they do murder their own children. You're just doing the same thing. And it's also the genesis of sodomy and that type of perversion. Because they just want sex. They want the pleasure that God gave them without the reason that God gave them the pleasure, because it's supposed to lead to His commandment. He made it easy to follow the command to be fruitful and multiply because He made it very pleasurable. So you can sin by omission and practicing birth control. And then, you know, the hypocrisy of those who walk for life and are down on abortion while they practice birth control. That's hypocrisy. I hope that makes sense. And I hope that, you know, I've thought differently in the past, but I've changed my mind as I've come to know the Word of God. I've allowed Him to write His law upon my heart. And I know that that's sin now. And, you know, my recent wife would never have practiced birth control or abortion. I would never have allowed it. I've been married 3 times. None of my wives practiced it while they were with me. Of course, what they did in their wickedness after their adulteries when they left me, well, I'm sure that my first wife is practicing birth control and perhaps abortion. I don't know. I don't talk to her. If she wanted to come and repent, well, perhaps I would talk to her, but that's a whole different subject. Okay, says they, verse 13 of chapter 9. Oh yes, verse 14. Give them, O Lord, what wilt thou give? Give them a miscarrying womb and dry breasts. All their wickedness is in Gilgal. For there I hated them. For the wickedness of their doings, I will drive them out of mine house. I will love them no more. All their princes are revolters. Ephraim is smitten. Their root is dried up. They shall bear no fruit. Yea, though they bring forth, yet will I slay even the beloved fruit of their womb. Ah, that's what's happening in America. Even though they bring forth, the fruit of their womb is slain, even by their own hands, and they don't see that it is their own wickedness that brings it about. They think it's a wonderful thing. Yes, that they can be free from the burden of having children. But our Heavenly Father says it's a blessing. And you see how far they are from them, just in that statement. In that statement alone. Because they call His blessing a curse. And then they go about everything they want to do to prosecute, persecute others. Oh, for the sake of the children. But in the truth, they hate children, and that's the truth of the matter, and you know it by their deeds, their feelings, their mushy feelings, and using the emotional effect of invoking for the children to get their ways and to pass their godless and ungodly laws and to steal children from godly people. They really hate them. Because they practice killing children. And they practice teaching that it's all right to kill children by the laws that they pass. Yes, they hate mankind because their father, the devil, hates mankind. And all of those who practice such things, their father is the devil, whether they know it or not. And some of them think that they're doing God a service while their father is the devil. Yahshua said it to the ones he called hypocrites, the scribes and Pharisees, the leaders in the church of the day that he walked and trod the face of this earth. He called the leaders in the church, many of them, hypocrites. He said, you are of your father, the devil. Is it any different today? I think not. A miscarrying womb. All their wickedness is in Gilgal. All their wickedness in Gilgal, for there I hated them. For the wickedness of their doings, I will drive them out of mine house. I will love them no more. All their princes are revolters. Does God love everybody? Well, if He proclaims here, I will love them no more. Why? Because they practice wickedness and they embrace it and they love it. Does God love those that practice wickedness? Yes, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But what if they trample on that? Does He love them? He said, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. Because what is love and hate? Well, if it's determined by feelings, well then, you know, all the liberals love children, don't they? Even though they practice abortion, they probably do it for the child's sake. Oh, I don't want to bring a child into this world. You know, it wouldn't be loved. So let's just kill it before it's born. Now, what love these people have. Now, this is called hatred. If you're for abortion, you're a hater of children. That's right. No matter how you try, what kind of terms you try to couch it in. Yes, it is hatred, because you embrace the hatred of the enemy of mankind, your father, the devil. That's right. So hate is what you do. And when the Heavenly Father turns his back on you, well, he's hating you when he turns you over. But see, you know what? Perhaps when you feel the hatred, the judgment of God Almighty, perhaps you'll turn around and go, why? Why does God hate me? And he answers and says, because you practice iniquity. You brought all these things upon yourself. Yes, this is how I've proclaimed it to be. This is what will happen if you sin against me, if you turn away from my commandments. I will turn my back on you. But if you will turn to me, I will heal you. Yes, his love is available. Turn to him. No matter how far you've gone, you can always turn back to him. I believe that. Though I also at the same time believe that most people cannot and will not, because it simply is not in them. Ephraim is smitten, their root is dried up, they shall bear no fruit. Yea, though they bring forth, yet I will slay even the beloved fruit of their womb. My God will cast them away because they did not hearken unto him, and they shall be wanderers among the nations. Hosea chapter 10 verse 1. That's where we're going to pick up next time. I see we're coming very close to the end here. Don't forget to bookmark it now. And remember, always, in everything you say and you do, that there is nothing more important as we enjoy this grace period called our mortal existence, this gift from God called life, that there's nothing more important than that we cross the border into his kingdom and obtain eternal life. So that when this mortal existence ends, that we will be in his kingdom forever. As always, hallelujah.